Okay, we're live. Nej, we were talking beforehand. You kindly asked me a question. It's 12 minutes past the hour. It's like, oh my, we're going to have a whole podcast missed if we don't click record. We'll try to continue just where we were, and I'll tee you up with you were involved in helping a family, or was it your own family, to evolve from kind of intergenerational family inheritance type thing.
We were five co-owners, and we built. One part was spiritual entrepreneurship and coaching, and the other part was intergenerational family businesses. We actually helped energetically the families that were open, psychologically and also HR and tax wise, how generations should evolve in family businesses. But the problem is that we made in 4 years, more than 50 family-owned businesses. In Slovenia, if you have a family that's has 30 employees, that's not a small company anymore. Companies that have 100 or 250 are considered big. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall, because 80 to 90% of them don't make it past the fourth generation. Because it's so much stress, so much projections, and for me, looking just on a psychological level and then on a soul level, it was it was clear after the first meeting. But for them, especially the fathers that were 60, 70 or even 75 and still in the businesses, they were no, my son needs to take care of this. And it's hard, because he was a couple of them were into investments or Bitcoiners, actually. And it was I don't want to fucking do this. Mm. And it was so much guilt and shame involved, which is very, very interesting, because money is Shakti energy, is actually feminine energy. And it was hijacked. And why I love Bitcoin, not Bitcoin and crypto are two different things. People are not aware of that, because Bitcoin is a philosophy of decentralized money, and it liberates on a lot of levels the Shakti energy, the feminine energy, which we're coming into an age of this more feminine energy. Cool. So it was interesting to see these people having tons of money, having plans how to expand, but being so just immersed in guilt and shame. And I remember reading Ken Honda. I was obsessed with Ken Honda, Happy Money, for a year. And I remember him saying money has frequency. And of course I've been in esoterics or spirituality, but also business from 23, 24. I'm going to be 40 next year. And it was of course, they don't feel great because the money, the way the money is produced is not liberated. Wow. And they're captured and caught in this paradigm, their whole energetic system of the family, of the company, and also themselves, where their soul is just saying, fuck this shit. I don't want this. It's not for me. And I can honestly say that only a couple of people that we worked had this mission, that they're also their soul and personality had this mission of taking over the company that was the third, the fourth, or even the fifth generation. In Slovenia, we had communism or socialism. So there's not a lot of this heritage of companies of 200 years or 250 or even 300 years. But you had some companies that had a heritage 50 to maybe 70 years, but that's a lot, more or less 25 to 30. And they were passed on into the third generations. But for most, it was just, I need to get out of this, and being totally and completely honest with yourself is the most difficult thing. What you also had to experience in your personal experience in the family business, and just saying, no, it takes real determination and connection. You can call it with source, God, the absolute, whatever you want to call it. It's with your inner inner guidance system or this on the soul level that comes through the emotional body system and saying, no, I'm not doing this. I don't feel expansion when I think about taking over this business. Because after 15 years of therapeutical or energy work, I boil everything down to one simple concept. Does it expand your system or does it contract? Because till the age of 3, we live in osmosis. More or less, we just pick up from the whole system where we live, especially from our mother and father. And at the age of about 2.5 to 3, our egoic system starts developing. We recognize ourselves in the mirror. It's the same with all mammals. Then this cognitive part starts building up with the social system, with the educational system, and so forth. But until the age of 3, we understand what is resonating with us and what isn't. And the most important thing, if you're in spirituality, business, investment, is like sometimes just the timing isn't right. But it's a thing of just contracting or expanding and not hype expanding. Because I see a lot of this in this new age spiritual community. Yes, I feel the energies and the emotional body isn't ready. And it's the same if you have a corporate company, if you have a company with 4 employees or you're self-employed, it's always the same. You have to listen to the not only here, but more or less to the brain-heart coherence. If it's expanding, then it'll be expanding after 3 days, 6 days, 9 days, a month. It'll wait. And this is also the Bitcoin philosophy, which I love. It's just holding the line. It's being patient. It's understanding and wisdom combined together that you're just okay with who and what you are. And I think as a civilization, we're going through this. Most of the things will collapse. I think we're all aware of that listening to this podcast. It's not something new. And we just need to sit tight and really see if this is, if the expansion is going through the higher levels. But when the expansion is real to materialize, it should feel right. It should feel right in the heart and in the gut. And if it doesn't feel right, it's like, should I eat spaghetti today? Or should I eat meatballs? Or if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, I don't know, fruit and vegetables. If it doesn't feel right, that means that the body that has this intelligence, it's our natural given right, and it was just taken away, like money was hijacked, like our energy is hijacked every day through the ideological and systems that, you know, this draconian built crap system is amazing at building. We just need to come intact with this. Should I expand or should I contract? And just wait. This is something we forgot in the West. Waiting is part of life. And it's hard.
Very hard.
It's hard, very hard, especially for people that are fiery, like you and me. We have a lot of earth and fire. It's like the personality should calm down and you should just calm the fuck down with a new investment or meeting.
Yeah, chill out, bro.
You know what I mean? It's like, just wait.
Yeah,
just
come on, Jake, relax. It's okay. You've got time. You'll figure it out. Yeah. And so, Nej, well, first I must say, shout out to Sam Gustafson for putting us in touch.
Yeah,
and
thank you, Sam.
What a way to kick off a podcast, because you've just given me like 50 directions to take this in. Where I think I'd like to start is, you know, I went to a business school and took a Bachelor's of Arts Management degree and studied business to, you know, A-level, 18 years old. And I've been in business for a long time. I'm from a business-minded family. The amount of times that how you feel and the fact that you can actually hone into the idea of how you feel from a spiritual perspective and get sophisticated about what you know how that feels, if that makes sense, is not in a textbook in relation to profit and loss, balance sheet. It's completely disconnected, i.e. like business is this thing that you do over here that's very, very rational, and it's a literally problem solution fix it type situation. And the idea that you can actually involve like a gut feel or a kind of spiritual sense with that is, to me at least, complete, like, that's not cool. You don't do that. And I think that's where it's fascinating, because really what it's all about is making good decisions. Yeah. And the better you can get at making good decisions, the better results become.
Yeah.
So what I'd love to learn from you, Nej, is how did you begin to realize that those two things could be used in conjunction, i.e. this very kind of rational business world could actually intermingle with a more spiritual sense? And I'd love to know a bit more about perhaps a specific use case of one of the companies that you were consulting with, because for sure this idea of generational wealth, you know, shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations. One guy makes it, a second guy keeps it, the third guy spends it, and number four is back at the start. Very, very common.
Yeah.
But yeah, far away from where I've just kind of run through it. And in particular, that conjunction of spirituality and business is awesome.
The most important thing is that you learn from your mistakes or fuck-ups. I have a very analytical mind. I finished history and sociology, and that's very left brain. It's mm-hmm. just facts.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from a family where, you know, it's business is business, and you materialize and you get money, you get married, blah, blah, blah. This was mm-hmm. not the script for me. So I learned a lot from my mistakes. As I said, when you start listening to this spiritual system, a lot of times it will sidetrack you. For me, I went through like 10, 12 years of sidetracking, because one thing I wasn't aware of was that this system of expansion and contraction works good when you're in the body. And a lot of people that do spirituality, we have a lot of these new age communities, and anyone that has their own business, I respect. But to a certain extent, common sense is not all that common anymore. We have a lot of lala, I call it lala, spiritual and business lala. Oh, the next big thing. Oh, it's the same. It's hype. Mm. You know, so I truly believe when your body and emotions are calm and when you're physically fit, then you can do intuitive spiritual work. And like okay. Marshall, I was a professional athlete. I trained like for 4 to 8 hours a day,
wow.
Like for 10 years. And I know when I had like one of the biggest downers in my life, like really depression for more than a year and a half, I went bankrupt because of a business I thought was the next big spiritual thing, you know, and combining spirituality and business. It was like, okay, what did I do when I was a successful athlete? And it was like back to basic, breathing, exercising, working, and being kind to other people. So you can do this system when you're grounded. And a lot of people don't want to be grounded. And it's like business people don't want to be opened from the higher chakras up because they're just in the materialistic realm. But I don't know how it's called in English. I think escapism. A lot of people just okay.
Well, just so, like the doom scrolling on your phone, right? People yeah. They're not so, present.
And
they want to sit and watch Netflix.
And spirituality can be the same, you know. So for me, the basic thing is that you live to a certain extent a healthy lifestyle and a common sense lifestyle. So don't live above your means. If you can't do 50 push-ups, then do 20 and gradually come to the 50. And this is what I did, because I saw, okay, I know this works. I read like tons of esoteric, especially theosophical books that are fucking hardcore to read, you know? And I said, okay, this is true, but how can I develop a system for myself that will have a common sense? And after this journey of the last couple of years, I found out, look, a lot of martial arts fighters or people that practice like martial arts, their ass can get kicked every day, but they're grounded. they're not always nice because they have self-healing and self-love issues, because usually the lower part of the anahata or the heart chakra isn't opened as much. It's open towards God and a concept. It's not open towards people. And in every person, even the people that do really shitty things, have a part of the God spark, if you want to call it, in them. That doesn't mean you don't set boundaries. But they are common sense, because they can get, you know, punched in the face every day. And I had quite a lot of conversations. And also my girlfriend, it was also a professional athlete and was actually in martial arts. And she said, you know, I wasn't opened and I wasn't in my feminine energy that much, but I had common sense because I could get kicked every day. And people that do business to a certain extent have this, but they don't develop this compassion, this common sense compassion. And people in the spiritual realm, you know, they don't work on the true trauma they have, and they love, and everyone is love and abundance. Yeah, but you have to materialize. We're here on earth to materialize in a compassionate way. So for me, it was like getting fit, getting into daily routines that are very, very grounded, but also spiritual, and then checking these systems, because I had the experience of hijacking how the energy systems of the darkness, because darkness is amazing at building this matrix, how they can hijack actually people that have a very natural high bioenergetic potency. So it was just going back to basics, what is crucial for my mental health and for my physical health, and then developing this stuff, and then opening up to higher realms. Cool. And I know that a lot of your listeners will maybe be offended, or maybe say, yeah, this is how it works, you know, and then you don't get sidetracked and hustled by, you know, a new thing from some spiritual things that come. And I worked with like people that were drug addicts that wanted to commit suicide, and with multimillionaires. Like, I worked with around probably more than 10,000 people in my career. But it all boils down to whether you're grounded and whether you have a clear focus of what you need to do. And then you can do business, because you're content. You're not doing million-dollar businesses because you want to prove to your dad that you're worth his love. You know, you're just content if the business happens and if the business doesn't happen. Because all of the businesses that should happen because it's something in it for the whole of humanity. And it's not black and white. There's a lot of gray areas. But at least it should come more to the white area. You know what I mean? So this is how I work with people and also myself.
Well, burning question. So you were a professional athlete. So what was your sport that you were focused on?
Badminton.
Badminton. Wow, cool. It's always infinitely fascinating to me what people do with their time. You know, we end up in these extraordinary places and sometimes not quite sure where, but or how you got there. What resonates with me a lot there is this idea of sort your own shit out first, and then other stuff falls into place. Yeah. And so, you know, that common phrase of, if you want to change the world, first you got to change yourself. It's very similar to what you're saying. It's if you're feeling strong, relaxed, calm in yourself, then inevitably that's what your day is much more like. If you're hyper-stressed, a bit scared, anxious about what's going on every day, then inevitably that's what your day is actually like. And Nej, what I would love to draw on then is the fact that, so you guys were a consulting business working with these kind of intergenerational businesses. So what were some of the examples of those, like, kind of case studies, if you could share one that comes to mind? People come to you and say, oh, we don't know, you know, this guy wants to retire, but someone's not ready to take it, or something like that.
Yeah, the one that was really successful, and I'm still in very good relationships with all of the family, was like a wood company. They designed like not only high-end, but also high-end furniture. So it was like the first generation. And we did everything for them, actually. Like, did consultancy on who should take, what would be the payout for the mother and the father, what would be the payout for the sister, how would the business develop, because the older son was really capable. And we actually also did an HR work that he got, like, I think it's called in English, a left-hand man or something like that, someone who could co-pilot him.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, so that was the biggest success, actually, for me, that we managed. And I just had a talk with him like 14 days ago, and he said, look, my life is amazing. We moved out of the place where the company is, because he also lived there. You know, usually you can walk in slippers into your factory. That is in Slovenia, but I also think abroad it's the same, because you need to be close if anything happens, you know?
Yes.
And the major thing, he said, I was so pissed because he had a piece of land where he wanted to build. And I said, look, I want to be frank with you, man. This is not a good land for you, because you and your wife and your daughter will lose energy. He was like, he was so mad. And then he found a house, and like a couple of years later, he like 14 days, we had a chat before, and he said, look, man, I was so pissed at you because you told me that. But now this house we bought, it's like, it's amazing. The company is running on itself. I have a new company starting. My relationship is great. I feel amazing coming home, and I feel amazing not living anymore there with my parents, like on the same ground. They had, you know, a couple of two houses, but that was really a huge success that we did, and I have this relationship with them. But long story short, I think also, like, we dismantled the company a couple of years ago, like a year and a half ago, because we were like a couple of co-owners. And I think it's really important that when you do a business, it's like, that was a very hard, but I'm really grateful, learning curve. You should be compatible. And like, if you're not planning on having a major corporation, which by my humble opinion, major corporations will die out because they're not sustainable. They're not human friendly. You should be compatible. And sometimes you come together to learn in life where you're compatible and not. Sometimes you just come to build the project. And for me, it was like a 4 or 5 year project that has ended. And I'm grateful for all of the learning curves I had with this, and the experience I had of what not to do and also what to do. So, yeah.
Learning what you don't want to do is just as important as learning what you do want to do. And equally, like, going into business with someone, it just sometimes doesn't work. And, you know, to do 4 or 5 years is actually not bad at all. It's making me laugh. This time a year ago, I got involved in a business and we didn't even do 4 or 5 months. It just became very untenable very quickly and the whole thing kind of fell to pieces. And that's okay. We actually managed to leave the whole thing as friends and still talk today, which is great. But
That is great.
It's about knowing when to say no in some senses. And that's probably a whole nother podcast in itself. But Nej, where I'd like to go next is something you touched on at the very start about the idea of money and feminine energy. Please expand on what you're talking about there.
It comes from these traditions that develop after the Atlantean age ended, because I had professors at my university that actually, one was kicked out, or they kind of left him that he should live. But he told that was the first time I was like 22, 23 that I heard about these civilizations. They were extraterrestrial, and that we had civilizations before on planet Earth. And then this cataclysm came because, you know, the Atlanteans kind of misused energy, especially crystalline energy. They did a lot of black magic. A lot of old souls, we were incarnated there. And they misused, of course, the feminine energy, because my opinion is, especially with the age that's dawning now, because people usually don't understand that ages are not like pieces of puzzle that they just click. They usually overlap. It's like when you're swimming in the sea, you know, your legs can feel like cold, but like your lungs feel a little bit warmer because the water is not the same. And this is how like changing of tides and changing of times work. And of course, the Atlanteans had a good thing, or we had, because we're reincarnating, a good philosophy, but it just went where it went because of multiple factors. But the majority of thing is that you need a man and a woman to a certain extent, and the electromagnetic field expands. And the if you decide to incarnate as a woman, you know, the woman symbolizes this, I don't know how it's called, the prameterias, like the primordial material. And of course, when you clobber that into a concept of money, especially the fiat money, you can fucking go where the fiat is going, and it's terrible. And the Shakti energy, the woman energy, when you're really in a steady relationship, is just a resemblance of where you are. Because if you're steady in a relationship, I once read in a tantric book, and I totally agree with it, if your lovemaking symbolizes how you live and the way you connect to your innermost, deepest fears and also ambitions for your partner, that represents how you will live. And of course, we have incarnated as women, even though we're both men now. And we have our inner woman and our inner man, and then the personality as a man, whatever nowadays people want to call themselves. But money was hijacked, because money is a concept. People don't understand that money is just a concept. You know, I get paid, of course, sometimes also in crystals or in metals, or now I'm building up a system to be paid in crypto. It's just a concept. But of course, the people that hijacked the matrix, the archons, hijacked, you know, the divine spark, and the divine spark goes through the materialistic realms there then. And the woman's part is very important, because when a woman is liberated and free, it expands. The man's, let's say, directive is to be stable, is to give direction, and not to be fixed or to be stubborn, to be also flexible, but it gives direction. But the Shakti energy in us, the feminine energy, expands. And of course, when I read Ken Honda, he writes and does podcasts a lot about that. It's like for the male or the man, it's really important to sort out this mother-child issue and to really understand where he is with his feminine energy, because then he can expand in love, and he can expand and produce businesses that are higher consciousness. Until then, you can be a multi-millionaire. I've worked with them. But the frequency of the money you produce will be from fear, lack, anger, you know? And when you get this feminine part of you, especially, you know, I agree, your partner should trigger the fuck out of you to a certain extent. That doesn't mean, you know, it's all your fault, but you should be capable of having a 2 or 3 or 4 hour conversation, because this is the means of growing. We're here to grow, expand. And when you heal a part of that or a lot of that, then you can start doing a lot of these higher frequency businesses. But this is still in the I would say baby stages at the civilization level. Some people are doing this. They have been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years, you know. But taking care of your feminine energy and your partner's feminine energy, that she can be free and loving and what Shakti should do, opens up the door to compassion and to building better relationship, because business is actually just relationship. business, an IT guy once told me, yeah, I don't need to be nice. I don't work with people. I said, if you don't have any people, you won't get your paycheck, you dumbass. And he, I actually told him that. He was like, oh, yeah, that's true. I said, yeah, of course it is. So business is always people. It's not business. It's people. And when you are, and I have to work on this every single day, because of course I also have an asshole in myself that wants to be, you know, dominant and a smart ass and make big businesses and hustle. And you need to take control of him. But when you heal a part of yourself or just put it into perspective, then you can start developing this. It's a word in the Balkans, mekan, like this soft, passionate, loving businesses that everyone feels good. The consumer that takes your products or your services feels great. They don't feel, pardon my saying, you know, hijacked.
Stolen from.
Yeah. Stolen, yeah.
Yeah, ripped and off, great word.
You know, ripped off,
like,
yeah. Ripped
you pay off. All this money, like, you're just like, what the hell? I just got nothing for that.
Yeah. And you just feel, and you feel emptiness. And then you, of course, capitalism feeds off this emptiness. And the emptiness is because we emptied up how we should communicate with nature, which is Shakti again, how we communicate with animals, how we communicate with this God-given body that was given to us. You know, we were detached from that. And it's a process. It can take lifetimes. It's not like I'll solve this in one program or one session. Or a lot of people told me, which crystal will solve my problems? And I'm like, I'm not selling you a crystal if you think you're going to solve your problems with that. No way. Go to someone else. I don't care. You know, you need to go deep. And it's an ongoing journey. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop.
And what resonates there is, it's funny I use that word resonate. That's also, you know, frequency, isn't it? In some ways, when you frame money from that perspective, i.e. the type of energy that a money can represent and how important it is that it's the right type of energy, then actually as a independent economic actor, you can go out and choose the money that someone like yourself says, this is the better energy.
Yeah,
you've done the work, right? You've done 10, 15 years of figuring this kind of energetics and spiritual side out. So, oh, no, this is the one you want to go and play around with. And you build your business on Bitcoin, you save in Bitcoin, you pay for things in Bitcoin. And suddenly, actually, all of this starts feeling better. And you feel better and your life gets better. It's like, well, what a surprise. Because, you know, this lens helps you understand why. And so in some ways, just adopt Bitcoin and see what happens. And therefore, you'll see the results. Nej, what I'd love to do now is you've touched on the word crystal a number of times. There'll be people listening that won't even know what you mean by that. And I'll frame it with this, is my mum over the years has, like, she's given me crystals. And I've got some in my kind of wash bag in my bathroom. And I did actually have some really cool bracelets that I wore for some time, but for whatever reason, I don't wear them at the moment. And I'm a novice in terms of understanding what they are. But please, you mentioned you invest in crystals. What in the hell does that mean?
Yeah, actually, in Australia, you have the biggest crystal valley in the world.
Wow.
So, yeah, what does that mean? It's like, if you work with the pendulum, or even you, mm-hmm. we have now machines that can measure electromagnetic frequencies. You know, it's not a big thing anymore. It's not weirdos walking around with pendulums and measuring. It's science. You know? I have a left brain that's pretty active, and I love the science part.
Cool.
So actually, crystals just enhance the properties of a certain area, and they enhance properties in us. And I tell people, look, man, you can invest 200K or 500K, the bigger investments, and still be an asshole. It doesn't matter. Crystals are living things, living beings, and you can tap into them on a certain level. And sometimes you tap into them on a certain level, and then you download what you just remember because everything is in you already. But let's say for, you know, this podcast, you download into your system and you're done with it and you can sell it or give it away. This is why a lot of people say, I don't feel this necklace anymore, or I don't feel this. But what I discovered through this project that actually is the biggest in Australia, last year I had the opportunity of kind of being not the co-founder, but I kind of, I'm good at building systems. So I built a system that's similar to this Crystal Valley here in Slovenia, because I worked for 4 years with a couple that are the owners, and with a really, with a guy that's been in crystals from the age of 10, you know, so for he's been in crystals for 30 years, and we tried it here. It was amazing. It was like, and I'm coming to the investment part. I just want to give you kind of the background.
No, please, as much as possible.
And it was like, you know, some people came and it was just like, yeah, I feel a little bit, but it doesn't matter. And it was interesting because I saw that some people felt like, wow, I really feel this crystal. And I said, yeah, of course, because it's just, it's on a piece of land, and the crystal is just enhancing this like heart energy or like higher connections up to source or with different civilizations, alien civilizations, and you're connecting with your oversoul or stuff like that. But I saw that people were buying this because we want a piece of this to take with us. And I saw that like the prices were actually going up every 6 months. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I started buying crystals for myself that I felt that would help me. And I started building like crystalline grids for companies and also for flats that people would feel better, because some are hypersensitive and they live in the city and you have a lot of, let's say, I don't like saying negative energies because they're just frequencies on a lower level, but let's call it negative energies. And I just saw that, you know, the prices were changing. And I said, okay, that's interesting. And I saw that people were just asking me what they should use. And of course, I have this merchandiser in me. And I was like, yeah, you can buy this, but this is cheaper and it will work the same. And people just started asking me, but yeah, but this is a great investment. You know, if you build the biggest crystal valley in Europe and the free, and it's like this year, it's just booming, like with people. I'm not working there anymore because I just felt that it's not a part of my path anymore, but I'm still working with crystals because they are a smart investment. And they're not an investment just because I had this moral issue, you know, that they come from other countries and they kind of leave the country of the origin they were produced. And I actually meditated on that like for a couple of months, and like the feeling or the transmission, whatever you want to call it, was like, look, our planet is so potent that if it decides, we can be gone like in 1 week, you know, because the planet, it's like the film Avatar is a documentary. It's not a movie. So it was just like, just relax, because this is a means of just raising the vibration of people. So it's not black and white, because I'm kind of drawn to black and white things, and it's a thing I have to work on every day. And the message was just like, the business you're doing is higher based, even if the crystals comes from somewhere else, not Slovenia, for example, or they come from Australia, like opals, and they're brought to Slovenia. So just relax. And when I relaxed with that, I just saw that, you know, some people can invest in stock, which is fine. You know, I generally think that you should invest where your frequency level is. Otherwise, you will freak out. But some people said, no, I don't want to invest in normal things. I want to invest in things that will build the network. And crystals actually build crystalline grids all over the world. And Bitcoin, the Bitcoin network or the blockchain, is the same system. And I saw that when people buy crystals, it's a multi-dimensional investment, which for some people, when I started explaining that, it was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? I can feel it, but like on a mental level, it's cool. Like, wow, no one has ever explained. So I just, most of the investments I do with people, it's just like we sit down, we do most of them, like 90%, we do the meditation. And then I just say, okay, these crystals are good for you as an investment because the price will go up in, the prices go up 50 to 350% every year on certain crystals. That's insane.
Because and that's because like, what the demand for them is just growing faster.
Demand and they're limited. They're limited. Like this.
So, crystal, I mean, so they're scarce, basically.
Scarcity. You know? Yeah. This crystal, like Moldavit from Czech Republic or Germany or Czech Republic, it's like it's limited. The Czech government only allows one company to kind of harvest this crystal.
Interesting.
And the price, like 10 years ago, if you would buy like 3 kilos of Moldavit, you would pay around 10,000 euros. Today, you would be a millionaire.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is it's hard to call it a yield, but there's a human benefit to owning it.
Yeah.
It's not like you're getting paid rent or you're not getting a dividend, but like you could buy a load of these things, chuck them in your basement, and you might feel better.
You actually, this is what I suggest to people, like even listening to this podcast, go to someone you trust. This is really important.
Mm.
Ask him which crystals would be better for you. And when you put it in your like house or your company, the frequency will change.
Mm.
Because crystals, their function is to just embrace frequency and to lift it to a certain extent. And again, I'm not a moron. You can buy for 200,000 euros of crystals. And I know stories of actually in America, people now give it as insurance. I know a story like 10 days ago that a guy bought a crystal, like a huge one, and he sold it for 2 million euros. And the guy he sold it to gave it as a bank insurance for $100 million business.
Yeah.
So we're going into this direction, whether we like it or not.
Yeah. And it strikes me, Nej, about the idea that they come from different places. What energetically feels wrong is, and this is base human nature, but for example, so I grew up in the UK. UK museums are littered with pillaged items from Imperial Britain.
Yeah.
And they were taken by force. Now, we fight. We always will fight. And that's just life. But if you have a crystal that was found and produced, for want of another word, by a independent economic actor who willingly went out and did this and then sold it in the marketplace, and you pay them what they think is a fair price, that is a very, very different energetic pathway to your hands than, like, I think there's a very, very, very large and extremely rare jewel that was taken from India that is in the British royal family's crown or similar, that's like basically been stolen off an Indian family.
I know what you're talking
about. A long time ago. And you're just like, wow, that's so crazy if you really think about that. But that's the spoils of war. And it is what it is. And, you know, that's what people have done for generations and generations. That's a whole other topic entirely. Just this, my final area I'd love to work through with you is, you mentioned on email that you're a telepath. What does that mean?
Yeah, for me, I like to joke that in the last couple of years, it was usually easier talking to souls than talking to personalities. But I worked on that like a lot. Yeah, it's something I didn't even know that I had, but I communicated like with the spirit realm when I was a kid, and a lot of like families, like couples come and I tell them, look, your kid is not insane. He's just multidimensional. Don't shut this down. Because when I started professional sport at the age like of 12, like training, started training like 15 to 18 times a week. Wow. It was like, I just shut that down. And then after I stopped with professional sport, it just clicked again. And I had, of course, a problem because I didn't know what to do with it. So I spent like 4-6 hours a day in the forest doing a business I had and doing university studies, but just I didn't want to go on, you know, medications because I knew I was normal. I just didn't know how to mitigate it.
Yes.
So it took me like a good 5 years to sort out what are my energies and what are other people's energy, and that I'm really good at clicking at collective energies and just, you know, saying no to certain energies, just saying, no, I don't want to communicate with you. I'm not open to everything, but it's a practice I've done fanatically, like for 10 years, just sorting out what is, what isn't. And your body is actually, you know, it can produce a nuclear bomb. It's that amazing when you start doing energetic things. And this is why people want to harvest energy from other people. And the thing is, for me, it was just like clearing out the darkness, because everyone has part of them that are shadow or darkness or whatever you want to call it. And just being okay with them if they're still left there. You just don't feed them, and just working on yourself. But for me, it's like when I work with people, it's like I can feel what the soul feels, or even higher levels, and with which like soul family or even extraterrestrials, this soul has incarnations, because most people aren't aware that we don't even, that we have more than just a human incarnation. The soul can have incarnations on other planets and systems. Wow. And I just work out with them what they sometimes want to say and what the personality is willing to hear. And I think this was the most important part for me, because I was so excited, you know, for everyone. I just saw the purest potential of what they are. But the thing is that not everyone is ready for, you know, 30 or 40% of their kind of potential. Some are just ready for 0.5%. And for me, it was working on my spiritual ego that it's okay to give, to just ask questions and for the personality to work out these things by themselves. So when we do workshops, it's now more or less just doing certain or yogic or tantric or some Buddhist techniques, and people just working out things. If they have questions, just answering. So they answer themselves, you know, not developing this, that you're anything special. Everyone has this capacity. Like every single one has this capacity. It's not something special. This is, I think, in like 20 or 30 years times, this will be a normality. People will, you know, not only synchronicities that happen occasionally to most people, but we will communicate more or less telepathically, because, you know, certain agencies that we won't name today were doing this from the 40s, 50s. They were seeking out kids that had this capability. So actually the X-Men are, again, a documentary of these agencies, not a sci-fi thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'd love to learn more about that. I mean, it's almost, we need a whole other hour to go through it all, but just this idea of like an incarnation and what that even means, and the ability to spend time in, like, in meditation, and when there, it's another world. Like, yeah. Actually, it's a whole other world, and it can take you to places. Fascinating. Well, Nej, listen, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really cool to hang out and to get to know you a bit better and to hear all those stories. I always end in the same way, which is, if anyone wants to reach out and get in touch with you, then what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, the best way, I am working on my website. It's a work in progress, but you can reach out via social media. I still have Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Okay. So they can reach out there. Just click Nate Zbolka and they can write, I'm fluent in English and also a couple of other languages. So, but also the AI can do magical.
Even if they can translate for you.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure to get those in the show notes as well. Well, Nej, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure.